Joe Sheehan joins us. Joe, of course, I say the best newsletter out there. Joe, how are you?
Good, Marty. How are you doing today?
Oh, we're glad to have you on, and happy opening week to you. So much has gone on, but before we get into some of the content, tell us where to get the newsletter, because for fans, you have to subscribe to this one. This is worth it.
Yeah, coming up on the 10th season of writing the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter, you can get information on it at joesheehan.com. It's a subscription newsletter. There are excerpts. There are examples of some of the stuff that I write, full columns. You also follow everything I do, whether it's at Sports Illustrated or Baseball America or radio hits like this, at my Twitter feed at @Joe_Sheehan.
Beautiful. Very good. All right, the first week is underway. And, boy, you look at the Red Sox, the Cubs, the Yankees. You look at Houston, and if you the playoffs started today, I think Bruce Jenkins said, what do you have, Seattle, Minnesota, Tampa Bay, and the Orioles, and somebody else in the American League playoffs. What's your take on just generally the first week of the season?
I'm always one to tap the brakes, Marty, and I think it's great to look back a year at all the things we were talking about, you know, a year, eight games into last season. You had the Mariners in first place. You had the Pirates in first place. You had the Diamondbacks in first place. Stop me when I get to a team that made the playoffs last year. I think it's really important to say, hey, look, if a team loses 6 out of 7 like the Cubs have in the middle of July, yeah, there'll be some frustration, but there won't be panic. I saw a stat from the great Jeff Passan of ESPN talking about how if you look at the last bunch of teams that went 1-6, started the season 1-6, only like 4 of them out of 35 made the playoffs. I think the catch there, though, is that there's nothing special about the first week of the season. Teams, good teams, lose 6 out of 7 in the course of a season. I think you've got to take that and say, let's not focus too much on the first 7 games and recognize, in baseball, it's 162 games over 187 days. This isn't football.
Joe Sheehan joins us here on the patio at Weekends in the Park. Tampa Bay last year, Joe, with the opener, 46-38 when they use a regular starter, and then with the opener, 44-34, the record. I know a lot's being made out of this, but it's not like the success has been overwhelming when they use the opener. Is this something that's going to stick, or are we just making a whole lot out of nothing here?
Well, I think that is overwhelming when you consider that you're not using the opener for your best starters, right? Nobody's using an opener for Blake Snell. They're not using an opener for Charlie Morton or Tyler Glasnow. If you think about what the kind of performance teams are going to get out of their number 4 and number 5 starters, you tell a team, hey, you're going to go 44-34 in those games, they'll take that run. So you look, take a situation, say, Ryan Stanek getting the start. The principle is that you start a reliever who's generally more effective on a per-inning basis. Start the game against the top of the other team's lineup. A scoreless tie in the first inning against the top of the lineup is a high-leverage situation, all things considered. So you start a reliever in that spot, and then you bring in the, quote, starting pitcher, the second guy. We don't have a good name for this yet. We're taking suggestions, if anybody has. But you bring in that guy that you already know is only going to go 5 innings, 5 1/3 innings. And instead of facing the top of the lineup 3 times, now he only has to face the bottom of the lineup 3 times. You gain these small advantages by using the lesser pitchers on your roster in this particular order.
Boy, it's going to be interesting today with the Giants going after it. You did a lot of sort of prop bets, very entertaining. I always look for your predictions and all that. You had one where you're prop bet and you say this may be a value play. Giants have a 3% chance of winning the West. You say bet the Giants.
The rest of the American League West behind the Dodgers isn't all that strong. So you're essentially saying, you know, what is the chance that the things go horribly wrong for the Dodgers? That they have, remember, last year, they didn't get 3 games over 500 until the middle of June. You know, the Diamondbacks led the division, the Rockies ended up tying them for atop the division. But if things were to go really south for the Dodgers, if, say, Walker Buehler were to get hurt, and all of a sudden now you've got a rotation that already has injury issues with Rich Hill, with Clayton Kershaw, doesn't get a lot of innings from its starters. If some disaster scenario were to occur, who would benefit from that? And I look at the Giants. I know it's been a tough start to their season, but they're going to prevent runs well. It's a strong bullpen. You've got a manager in his final season. I think there might be some value in that. The core, if it stays healthy, you look at Posey, Belt, Crawford, the championship caliber core. We know that already. It's 1-3 World Series. So, again, it's not that I think the Giants are going to win the division. It's that I think their chances are better than, I think it was 30-1 I was getting in that prediction. I think they're better than 3%.
All right, very good. All right. I'm with you. I'm putting a dollar down. 3,500 to 1. I like it. All right.
Do it in Nevada. Don't do it in California. It's not legal.
Thank you. Not yet. Not yet. Let me tell you. It is coming. Joe Sheehan with us. Always has a good perspective. The singles, where did they go? They've disappeared. The strikeouts are up. Everything else, pop-ups are up. What happened to the singles? They're down.
It's got to go somewhere, right? If you look at the rate of singles was 15-17% of at-bats throughout baseball history, plate appearances throughout most of baseball history. It dropped under 15% a few years ago. It's under 13% this year. You have a lot of different trends coming together. Obviously, the strikeout rate is up. I know you know Eno Saris. He's there in the Bay Area. He did a great piece at The Athletic the other day talking about strikeout rate approaching 25%. You've got the shift is taking away some singles, although it's not having the massive effect that I think a lot of people think it's having, but it is taking singles out of the game. The trend towards hitting the ball in the air, that's leading to the highest pop-out rate in baseball history. That pop-ups are up 2%. So all of these things are taking singles out of the game. And Marty, baseball's built around singles, right? The base hit, when you take singles out of the game, you take first to third, the bases out of the game.
No, I agree. So what do you do? You like to see defense. You like to see the ball in play. Do the hitters have to hit differently? What do you do?
I don't think it's the hitters. I think it's the pitchers. Pitchers are witches now. Between the velocity and the spin and all of the tools that they have to get better, the game is really leaning towards pitchers right now. This trend towards launch angle, towards selling out for power, is a counter to what pitchers can do. I think the important games this year are going to be played in places like Long Island and Sugarland, Texas, or wherever the Atlantic League gets to play. MLB is going to have the Atlantic League experiment with their pitchers pitching from 62 feet 6 inches. And I think in the long term, guys, that's going to be the solution here. I think the only way to kind of fix baseball is to move the rubber back. And we don't know yet if it's going to be 6 inches, a foot, 2 feet. They're going to start with experimenting with 2 feet and go from there. But you've got it. That distance between the pitcher and the hitter has been the same for 125 years. Pitchers, when they put the mound at 1893, the average pitcher was like 5'1" and 87 pounds. They're a little bit bigger and stronger now.
Very good. Great example, Joe Sheehan. Very good example. I'll tell you something. I look at the three true outcomes, the strikeout, the walk, and the home run. And it seems like that's going up. Is that possible? Could it go up any higher?
I keep saying it couldn't. I thought getting over 30% would trigger some action. I thought getting over a third of plate appearances, which you saw last year, would trigger some action. Now it's approaching 35% of plate appearances, a strikeout, a walk, or a home run. And we're still not seeing the league do anything. And like I say, baseball's behind the curve on this. They're going to experiment with the mound being pushed back. One of the things we've seen is that they don't have a lot of control on how the baseballs are manufactured. And we saw 2 years ago the baseballs started flying all over the place out of the park. This year they're flying out of the park again. Baseball may want to exercise more control on the actual construction of the balls themselves. Get the seams raised a little bit, or control how the resiliency of them. We're getting into science stuff. I don't completely understand here. I'm kind of vamping a bit, but basically, get it so that they can control the baseball, and that if you make it so that the ball doesn't fly as far, maybe you do take some of the juice out of these hitting strategies. Maybe you do bring back a more contact hitting approach.
I think you make a good point, Joe, in that you want the ball to be level across all playing field. I mean, that's why they inserted the humidifier in Colorado and then Arizona and places like that. I've always wondered, is Major League Baseball going to get to a place where they just use the humidifier everywhere? Doesn't make sense to me to use it in some places and not in others.
No question. You could have this way, you keep the balls in a standard environment in all 30 parks. But beyond that, you've got to go to the manufacturing level and say, what do we want the tensile strength of the yarn to be?
Right.
What do we, when we stitch the baseballs together, how far up should the seams be? There's a lot of talk about how the minor league baseball is different from the major league baseball. It's one of the reasons that we're seeing a lot of prospects come to the majors now and hit for more power than we projected them to, because they're hitting a totally different baseball in the majors than they're hitting in the minors.
Red Sox, Yankees, Cubs, if you had to pick one that's in trouble, and I realize it's only the first week, but there's a little bit of seeing Cub bullpen, they shuffled that today. Sales velocity is at 90. The Yankees have injuries all over the place. Cubs, Yankees, Red Sox, who's in the most trouble?
Probably the Cubs. The Yankees will get healthy. The Red Sox have pitching depth behind Sale, but there were concerns coming into the season about this Cubs pitching staff. Now, I thought they would hit enough that it wouldn't matter, but you know, their ERA is 8, so you really can't hit your way out of that. And as much as they can shuffle the bullpen, they sent down Edwards today. There's talk about maybe Mike Montgomery losing his roster spot, but they're stuck with that rotation. You know, Darvish, Lester, Hamels, Quintana, and Hendricks are going to have to be their 5. They don't have a lot of internal depth there. So those guys have to pitch better, and if they don't pitch better, if they continue to decline, the Cubs really don't have a lot of options.
No, and I'll tell you something. Quintana looked like a batting practice last night to the
Very
Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
8 hits, 8 runs in 3 innings for him, and the ball was flying out of Miller Park. Bernie, the guy who slides down, they had to get a replacement for him. He's gone down there so much, it's too much.
Wore out the seat of his pants.
Really, I'm telling you, it's too much.
He's got to get sliding. He's got sliding pads. He's got strawberries all over the back of his legs.
I'm telling you, it's too much. The Brewers, to me, look like the best offensive team cooking right now. Hey, Joe, a pleasure having you on. Joe Sheehan. Say it again, Joe Sheehan on Twitter, and tell us once again where to get the newsletter.
Yeah, at Joe_Sheehan on Twitter, and then joesheehan.com for information about the newsletter. Good talking to you guys. Thank you very much.
I love having you on. Thanks, Joe. Thank you.